Well, hello again to everybody out in Turdville. It is the beginning of summer. It is the beginning of a three-day weekend here in the U.S. Markets will be closed on Monday. We have a little tradition here in Turdville. If you haven't been around for long, you will soon realize that the tradition we have most every three-day weekend holiday, is we bring in the golden jackass himself, Jim Willey. If you're not familiar with Jim, I have to ask you, why? I mean, everybody should be familiar with Jim. He is the editor of the Hat Trick Letter, and his work can be found on the goldenjackass.com website. He is a good friend of Turdville, always a treat to have on, and he's back with us today. Jim, my friend, how are you today?
I'm getting old.
Yeah.
I'm getting old. The Memorial Day weekend is always my birthday at the same time, so it's a point of joy, but for the holiday, but it's also a reminder, one more tick.
Yeah.
But I'm turning 62, but I got the vibrance of 52, and I've got the, I don't know, I think I act 42, and I get along fine with young kids, so I guess I'm going to be a kid at heart for a long time.
That's the only way you can go through it. I hear you, man. You and I, we're both past the age where birthdays are celebrations. I mean, definitely not anything to look forward to. Well, I tell you what, we have a lot going on in the world, Jim. So, I mean, the timing to have you stop by Turdville just couldn't be better. It is just, it seems, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we're all just so close to the situation that it we just can't help but feel this way because we're paying attention. But damn if it doesn't seem like things are just ramping up and getting more precarious by the day. We are, I know you're watching closely the events in Ukraine and vis-a-vis Russia and everything that's going on there. You, my friend, I think we're the first person to use the term Eurasian Alliance. I probably heard it from you at least two or three years ago, this idea that the economic powerhouse of the 21st century is something that kind of reaches from Germany to Russia into China and Southeast Asia. Boy, if we're not headed that, if you can't see the world headed to that in that direction here in 2014, then you're just simply not looking. Jim, give us an update. What big developments are you seeing in that outside of just the what's right in front of everybody's face?
Well, don't forget to include India in that group.
Well, yeah, exactly. All that Southeast Asia part, the BRICS, everybody else.
Yeah, it's BRICS, but you know, I don't really think in terms of the individual nations of the BRICS. I don't think Brazil is as critical as India.
Yeah.
And then you throw in South Africa to make it an S in the BRICS. My joke, I love this. Iran and Indonesia are becoming critical associate nations. Mm-hmm. So it's two more I's, and it's the BRICS.
It sounds like you've been drinking already.
No, I never drink. I haven't drunk. I just had my 27th anniversary of no marijuana.
Good for you.
27 years. Oof. Anyway, that's a personal item. I don't know if people care, but just indicative of a little bit of my nuttiness. I'm not a normal guy, and I don't claim to be. I just try to work hard at this, and you gave me credit for identifying the Eurasian Alliance. I used to call it the Eastern Alliance. That was my name.
Yep.
And that was actually put on my table by The Voice, my excellent, credible, very well connected gold trader source of information who likes to remain in the background. And he said, Jim, mention my name less, will you? And I said, okay. But back in 09 and 10, he said, look, it's pretty clear the Western nations are broken financially and structurally. And they, the Lehman event was a death event, and they're going to keep things propped up for a long time. But watch Europe turn its attention more to Russia and China. And we used to talk about, well, why would that be? And he said, well, Russia's got a tremendous amount of resources, minerals, you know, not just energy. I mean, you take a look at, you know, 10 important metals like cobalt, titanium, tin, aluminum, copper. Just go on down the list, and Russia's always one, two, or three in that list. So there, you can't isolate a supplier. That's like saying, oh gosh, we're going to isolate Walmart in the United States for its retail operation. How do you do that? They got 2,000 stores. I mean, so he told me about the Eastern Alliance and said, watch Germany. It'll take a few years. It'll take 3 years for them to have their relationship totally burned with the U.S., England, and French triangle. And that's when I started learning more. This is 2009 and 2010, learning more about the French angle. And he said, Sarkozy is, you know, he's CIA plant. And I said, okay, I guess he's pretty scummy. And he said, yeah. Anyway, now we're starting to see things come together as I expected. You know, when you make a forecast, as I do, that 3 years will need to pass for the forecast to come together, people yawn, and they don't even regard it as a correct forecast when it happens. They just think, well, you know, you mentioned that a long time ago when it didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
There are a lot of dumb people out there when it comes to assessing forecasts.
And impatient.
Well, yeah, if you can't tell me something that's going to happen in the next 3 months, then you're useless.
Yeah.
And I say, well, you mean like strategic planning for your, life savings is not important? Life savings is not important to the American crowd. That is the fact of life. It's not important to either sibling of mine. They're hoping for the best. We had an event in the last week that I had been looking forward to for a month or two, and it was they call it the Holy Grail Energy Pact. It's between Russia and China. It's a $400 billion pact. The largest energy deal, the largest commercial deal done in maybe half a century. And the deal covers 30 years of activity, pipeline construction activity, other investment going on, and payment schemes. And, you know, it's kind of funny. There was a lot of curiosity. Well, how are they going to declare the payment system for this? And I read the news, and I wasn't the least bit surprised to hear that not much information was forthcoming on the payment schemes. And I concluded, okay, looks like it's going to be an ongoing negotiation. Let's see how progress takes place with this pipeline build-out. Let's see how sales proceed on pipelines that are operational. Let's see how the global markets happen. Let's see how the dollar dies. Let's see how the petrodollar is phased into petro-yuan. There's so many contingencies. Why would any sane pair of parties at a conference table commit to price? So they commit to a process in pricing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot. And I believe that this deal is the foundation and skeleton system for the Eurasian trade zone. I mean, some people call it the Eastern Alliance, then it's called the Eurasian Alliance, then it's just called Eurasian for its commercial front. But I like calling it the Eurasian trade zone right now because there are a lot of initiatives, and it's largely pushed by Russia, and China has added to the weight. They're trying to make a number of things easier when moving products through exports and imports, like from, say, Russia to India or India to China, not just Russia and China bilaterally. They want inspections at the customs to be simpler. They want standards to be unified for, say, electricity and computing devices. They don't want multiple standards. They want a unified trade zone. They want some understood patent protection. They want understood just flows and systems and logistics. So that's a trade zone. I mean, you can talk about the Shanghai trade zone and all its characteristics, but that's a metropolitan area.
Right.
With the Eurasian trade zone, we're talking about on the order of 14 time zones. We're talking about 70% of humanity. We're talking about 60 to 70% of all the global economy. And I think that what we're going to see is a lot of little successful pieces coming together for this trade zone that's going to be tied to American failure, American isolation, Russian and Chinese successes, recognition of Russian supply, recognition of Chinese investment potential. When you've got these big supply channels from Russia and these big investment channels from China, you can't ignore it. They're too big. And notice that last week or a week and a half ago, Obama had a rather significant failure in Tokyo. He got absolutely zero of what he wanted for this Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Mm-hmm.
This TPP is one of the biggest goofy, nutball, vacant trade deals I have ever seen in my lifetime. It is like a fascist manifesto slam into trade. They're trying to coordinate patent ownership, the impossibility of making challenges for certain things to corporations, recognition and removal for website without any proof of damage done. And a lot of nations are saying, screw, we don't want to have anything to do with it. The only success Obama had with this vacant Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, by the way, excludes China. I mean, are they brain dead or what?
I know. I'm shaking my head at that one when I saw it.
The only success they had, Turd, was locking in a huge military deal with the Philippines. Okay, that's all Nazis care about, just stealing and setting up bases. Let me steal your wealth. Let me go in there and, well, in the middle of the night, take your central bank gold and let's set up some patents that are oppressive and military bases to keep your liberty. I mean, gosh, this is insane. But the Eurasian trade zone has a swing state, and I watch very closely developments in Germany. Germany has been building commercial and financial links with Russia and China. I'm starting to call them R&C. I mean, we had the term of Chindia a few years ago, China, India. Now, I'm just starting to see R&C, Russia and China. How do you isolate Russia when they're teamed up with China? I mean, this is more stupidity.
Right.
What's coming in Germany, well, what is already the fact of life and the landscape of Germany is 3,000 different companies doing business in Russia that are German. That's kind of significant. But what's coming next, that's what already is. I mean, that's how deep the ties are between Russia and China and Germany. What's coming next, though, is the building up of Frankfurt. Frankfurt is their New York. That's their financial center. It's a very big financial center. It's the seat of the Euro Central Bank. It works closely with the Bundesbank. Why'd they put it in Germany? Because that's where the Bundesbank is. Why'd they put it in Germany? Because that's the strongest economy in Europe. Why'd they put it in Germany? Because it's the source of most investment banking in all of Europe. You don't go out and solicit Italian investors to start up a multinational company. You do it in Germany. So what's happening in Frankfurt is it's being now put in focus for creation of numerous different deals having to do with the what they call RMB hub. Chinese yuan trading hub. They started a yuan based called RMB. It's easier to say yuan. I mean, that's pretty. It's so close to yen and so close to won that the Korean and Japanese, but the RMB, renminbi, which means in Chinese people's money. So it's kind of a funny name for a currency, people's money. But Frankfurt's going to become an RMB hub. And the Voice confirmed that just a few days ago. He said, yes, it's going to absolutely explode and watch the ties with the Shanghai Free Trade Zone. The intrigue related to this Eurasian trade zone has to do with French and German weapons supply and components supply line for, like, say, ships. The leading giant diesel engine manufacturing takes place in Germany. So the Chinese are using them for some ships.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Germany's going to say, hey, we hear you, Washington, yeah. and we're going to cut off all this trade with Russia and China. We hear you, Washington. No, what they're going to say is, we hear you, Washington, and we're going to give you lip service. We're not going to give a damn bit of attention and follow through on your goony plans. How did that Iran sanction crap work out? I mean, the U.S. is shooting itself in the feet and in the testicles with these sanctions. The theme is going to be, really, join us in the Eurasian trade zone commercially and strategically, or be left behind to decay on toxic ground with the British and the Americans. I'm watching the British very closely. I'm noticing the competition building up now between Frankfurt and London. It won't be between Paris and London. It won't be between Zurich and London. It's going to be between Germany, the adopted European son by RNC, Russia and China.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've already got these significant ties. What people don't perhaps comprehend in the United States all too well is that the German commercial relationship with China is strong and established. And if you go looking through construction sites in coastal China, like in Beijing and Shanghai and other port cities, you find German construction equipment. They've already got big connections. I mean, the ties between Germany and Russia are great. The ties between Germany and China are more recent. The German-China link is more recent, but it's very strong and very deep already just after 10 years. That's the Eurasian trade zone coming together. And this Holy Grail, it's kind of like the baptism event.
Yeah, yeah. It ties particularly ties Russia and China together very tightly. It is a baptismal event. It's a foundational event. It is, any way you want to look at it, it is just another signpost of where this is all headed. No question about it, Jim. No question about it. Go ahead.
Well, then you're going to start to see toward the Gazprom lever used.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This whole Holy Grail deal had a theme to it. They call it the Russian pivot to Asia. And Obama tried to do his pivot to Asia.
Yeah.
The pivot that Obama did was turning back on his heels and going home with nothing. All right. The Russian pivot is to China to show Europe that they can replace some of the lost gas business if they want to play games and shut off the pipelines. But I got news for you about Ukraine. It used to have about 60% of the Russian Gazprom flow go through it to reach the Western European and the Eastern European clients, mm-hmm. client states. Well, now it's more like 40 to 45 because Russia has built the Nord Stream with German help. Again, German engineering. It's the best in the world. I'm not talking about computer engineering. I'm talking about engineering for engines, diesels,
right.
For welding underwater, just a lot of things. They've got LNG facilities all along the northern German coasts. We're talking about coasts that are frozen in winter. They've got LNG facility. So that alleviates the pressure point of Ukraine. And they've got the South Stream now that's going to be operational, they're saying, in 2015, and it's going through Serbia and those old crazy Balkan republics. They're not getting any interference there, but I think this Ukraine deal, this conflict, is to create a firewall. And I don't think the U.S. and NATO leaders, given their satanic roots and their Nazi lacings, I don't think they care if Ukraine is just leveled and scorched earth.
Yeah. No, I agree. Ukraine.
They want a firewall.
Yeah, they're just a pawn, and you can see that playing out. And Jim, I have been telling listeners at TFMR for months. It's just this fallacy of this notion that the U.S. somehow holds the cards in this. That they can make any nation bend to their will, especially not a nation that is a creditor nation of the U.S., you know, that can essentially wreck the U.S. economy at any at their whim, if you know, if they want to. And the idea that the U.S. could isolate Russia is like me saying, Jim, I'm going to isolate you by not talking to you anymore. As if, like, that means you can't talk to anybody else, you know? I mean, it's just silly.
It's stupid talk.
It's nonsense. Let me take this one step further then, because this is clearly the backbone. This is the foundation of the 21st century financial system, whereas the dollar system, the Bretton Woods system, was the backbone and foundation of the 20th century. Anyone can see that this is the direction. I mean, we're 14 years into the 21st century. This is where the 21st century will prosper and play out, is in this Eurasian alliance with the BRIC nations and all that. You've been talking about, every time I have you on, we talk about the BRIC nations and the BRIC Development Bank and how they're going to be able to unload some of their treasuries collectively and fund projects and that type of thing. Can you give us kind of an update on what you've seen in the BRIC nations as they're working together? What kind of progress of all that coming together?
They're busy as bees, and they try to stay out of the news a little bit, but notice in the last year there's been a new website journal called BRICS Post. And I've noticed that two things about them. One is that they were nowhere in 2012 and 13, early 13. And when they do post articles, they're very meaty and they're very short. You don't find a three-page article coming out of BRICS Post. They're busy and they don't really make a lot of headlines except to their own BRICS Post and some European and Asian new journals. I'm seeing an explosion of new European and Asian and Middle Eastern reputable journals. Al Jazeera is going mainstream. Russia Today, mainstream. Xinhua, X-I-N-H-U-A. Xinhua Net, going mainstream. There are quite a few of them, and it's nice to see, because I don't think the United States deserves a monopoly in press reporting. But the BRICS are very active with their development bank doing African railway deals. They talked several months ago about doing a Tanzanian railroad, and now they've got plans, concrete plans, signed deals for a Nigerian coastal railway. Now they've got another deal to connect Kenya, their capital of Nairobi, with their port, and to connect other nearby nations like South Sudan, which split, and Rwanda. These are not well-known countries, but they're going to become important channels for supplying on railroads, car after car after car, railroad cars full of metal, full of iron ore, full of copper ore. Yeah. This is how the Eurasian Trade Zone, I think, is going to bring in Africa. The Eurasian Trade Zone is not just Europe and Asia. It's going to be a global trade zone, come one, come all. And you know, this war and confrontation with U.S. and NATO, what it's done is it's isolated the United States from a third level to a fifth level. The isolation is acute. The United States is not even invited to this weekend's St. Petersburg International Economic Summit. It's because it's become a warmongering fascist state. No one wants to have anything to do with them economically. They come in and they want to control patents. Yeah. They want to do NSA spying. And then they want to establish military bases to do covert operations. This is a scum country plan.
Yeah, who wants to deal with that?
Who wants to deal with that? All right, so China is dealing with these African railroads and the BRICS development plan. I've got kind of it's a cutesy way of looking at this development fund, but it's going to be funded with $100 billion as just maybe a halfway point for the $200 billion eventually. And my joke is this. Well, after they do the Tanzanian railroad, the Nigerian railroad and the Kenyan railroad, and that's all done, what are they going to do with the other $195
billion? Yeah.
We're not talking about huge sums of money here for these railroads.
Right.
So I believe this BRICS Development Bank is kind of a false front. for the BRICS central bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take the treasuries and maybe some Japanese government bonds and UK gilts and euro bonds, but it's going to be 90% U.S. treasuries. And eventually they're going to, I think, tie in with Frankfurt and Shanghai and convert it into a central bank and convert these bonds into gold bullion. So the morph into a central bank and then the conversion of these toxic Western sovereign bonds. But they're going to – you know, China's doing a lot of things. I'm calling them the new global diplomat. China is doing some very mature things. I think they made phone calls and visits to Iran and Saudi and told them, make peace or we'll kick your asses. Make peace. Détente. Stop this crap. Stop your terrorist activity, Saudi, in Syria. Stop your funding of disruptive organizations. And Iran, you know, just pull back on your Hezbollah usage. Make friends. Get a détente going. Start cooperating because you can both win. Because as it is now, following this U.S.-U.K. stupidity of constant conflict, you're both losers.
Yeah, yeah.
So China does not want to patrol the Gulf waters of the Persian Gulf. They're trying to get away from the name Persian Gulf, which is kind of funny. The Saudis and the Arabs don't want to call it Persian Gulf anymore. They just want to call it the Gulf. Well, the Gulf. Okay, fine. The Gulf. The Chinese do not want to patrol the Gulf and get between the Saudis and Iranians. What they want to do instead is to push the American Navy out. And that's going to be a tall task because they're very well firmly fixed in Qatar.
Yeah, they're not going to go quietly.
No, they're not going to go quietly. And in fact, it's going to be very interesting because, again, it's commercial. Qatar is a leading LNG gas engineering and production country. They're pushing the technology. They're hiring some of the best minds in the world. Russia is now working. Gazprom Russia is now working with Qatar. And they call it Qatar. I call it Qatar. That's just me. I think Qatar sounds better. So that's what I'm going to call it.
That's fine with me.
Okay. But look again. There you go. Gazprom and a commercial tie right in the Persian Gulf, the Gulf, with Qatar.
Yeah.
I mean, what's U.S. going to do with their big naval base there? I think they're going to convert them to condominiums. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be constructive. We got so many things going on with the BRICS. They're doing a massive recruiting drive now, and they're openly recruiting Argentina. Wouldn't it be interesting if in 1 year, after signing up with BRICS projects and development, Argentina pulled its economy and its financial system out of the quagmire? I mean, this is the sort of thing that's going to happen. Countries just stop with this toxic fiat paper nonsense currency system and go to a gold standard, pursue the gold standard, take the 20 steps necessary toward the gold standard, and realize a miraculous turnaround in the economy and financial health. That's what's coming for Argentina, and I think it's going to become a showcase because they've got over 50 countries. I thought I read it was 80, but someone told me recently, no, I think it's 46, Jim. I said, okay. But the BRICS, I think, are going to rally behind the Shanghai Free Trade Zone, which I can't say enough about. Again, it's customs simplification, patent protection, zero investment banks from the West invited inside, very big, fully secure global bank accounts with no shared information. We're talking fully secure privacy. Lots of inspections issues, customs inspections, patent. It's a trade zone. But that's where the Shanghai example of the fully convertible yuan takes place. And watch the BRICS, which all have these yuan swap facilities, tie in with Shanghai using this trade zone and the fully convertible yuan. The BRICS are not conforming to a single request from the U.S. government on Russian sanctions.
Yep.
And they've got an interesting reply. The Indians, for example, made a reply 2 weeks ago they said that you know, we're not fully in favor of harsh action taken against Russia. We've got significant trade with them. They don't say, oh, go to hell. We don't want to have anything to do with your stupid sanctions. They all backfire, and you've been shooting your testicles off so much we're wondering if you have a third. The BRICS will construct – this is the big point.
Lay it on me.
They will construct a clearinghouse for U.S. government debt, treasury bonds, euro bonds for conversion to gold. It's going to be their diversified central bank. I think it's in progress, and I think there's some hints for it already. Shanghai is going to be a big rallying point, and Germany is going to be a new hub. You're going to see more and more stories about Germany. They've got a new name now for a RMB-based bond, a Chinese yuan currency-denominated bond. It's called the Goethe bond, and the Americans in their I make a lot of insults of Americans. I'm not impressed with their awareness, their ability to comprehend crisis, their ability to foresee life savings at threat.
Yeah.
But I've got to be clearer, because I'm kind of insulting personality here. 10% of Americans really do get it, and they're pissed off.
Yeah.
And I appeal to them and pat them on the back, not in any patronizing way, but there are a number of Americans, a good slice. It's not significant at all, because 90% have no freaking idea what's going on. They don't even know that the dollar is the currency used for international trade.
Right.
They don't even understand it. And if you talk about a yuan swap facility pushing out the dollar, you get blank stares. And then they say, really, hey, how about those Red Sox? You know, it's pathetic. And I deal with it with my family. They change the subject. They don't want to hear about this stuff.
Right.
That's why I got into all the psychological factors of, false constructs in your mind and ridiculous assumptions about U.S. law. My brother, who's got a bachelor's degree in economics, Phi Beta Kappa in college. He actually said to me a few years ago, oh, the U.S. will come out of this okay. Lehman Brothers, they'll work through it, Jim. This is what capitalism does. You have bankruptcies and you move on. I said, John, they didn't liquidate the big banks. They liquidated a Target bank to save Goldman Sachs. He said, well, I don't see it that way. That's because you don't study it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't learn what you don't study. You can't just say, well, I'll take that at face value, but I don't spend more than 1% of my cranial brainwave time on this topic. Now, people are very busy, and I understand it, with their families and their work. And they're not too focused on saving their life savings after they just had their home equity wiped out.
Well, I would add too, Jim, and they only know, like your brother, he only knows what the media has told him. And he hears that and he files it away and decides that that must be what the case is and just leaves it at that, which is what they want you to do so that they can
spin
away.
That's true for many people, Turd, but my brother and I used to be kind of a tag team in 99, 2000, 2001, 2002 with mining stock investments and a lot of discussions. He didn't get Phi Beta Kappa economics out of osmosis. He's a smart guy. But I've talked with him a number of times about, what are you doing? You studying any of this? He said, no, not really, not anymore. I'm not interested in it. I hope something good comes out where they can just leave me alone and I can enjoy my years. He's 2 years older, and he didn't have a big pension from a company, so he's just struggling, and he's kind of typical. It's sad. It's sad. They're just not interested in the country's developments that they're so much in support of, waving their flag on Memorial Day and 4th of July. I tell people, what do you mean when you wave your flag? What does it mean to you? Well, support for my country. I said, do you realize that your country suffered a coup d'etat? Well, I don't really know about that. What do you think 9/11 was? Well, I don't know. Those Arabs, they hate us. Right. Well, they hate us for our freedom. You buy that, moronic? I joke with some people when I get really, really nasty, and I say, when you put your flag out there, Don't you think those white stripes should be lines of cocaine?
Jim. I bet that goes over like a lead balloon.
Don't you think those stars should be swastikas? Swastikas and lines of cocaine. And don't you think those red lines should really be drops of blood?
You're really,
war? You're, war, cocaine, narcotics, and Nazi takeover. This is what I think of on Memorial Day in July 4th.
I'd have you at my barbecue, but I bet that would go over like a lead balloon at most of them.
I can leave it all aside, Turd. I can be your regular, you know, what's the word they call it? I can be your regular mensch.
There you go. Well, now, hey, you're being very generous with your time, but I do need to kind of drive us along. We probably have about 10, 15 minutes left, and so I want to touch on a couple of other topics that you've discussed with us previously, and I just want to see what your current thoughts are. We made a big deal about a year ago about interest rates and the Tower of Babel and crowding out and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I saw a thing on Zero Hedge that said 67 out of 67 economists at the end of 2013 said rates were going higher. And I am not an economist. But if they would have counted me, it would have been 67 out of 68, because I have long maintained that rates cannot be allowed to go higher. It would force a great quick unravel of the Ponzi if they did. And so no surprise that the 10-year has gone from 4% to 3.5%, and the 30-year has gone from, 3 down to 2.5%, and then the 30-year has gone from 4 down to 3.5% or lower. What do you see? What's next in the Treasury market? What's next for rates? What's next for QE that they try to convince us they're tapering? What are your thoughts there, Jim?
Well, I put out a forecast a few months ago that the U.S. Treasury 10-year would go up to 3.5%. And, you know, I'm going to be honest about this. It's a very weird point. But I've got something like 23 or 4 correct forecasts since 2004 and 5 when I started the newsletter. I just had my 10th anniversary. I got about 23 or 4 big correct forecasts. One of the most recent was the banker murders. I mean, that's not the kind of thing that you'd see a Wall Street publication coming out with, banker murders.
Big white paper.
And I thought that was going to be the case, because in 2011, I saw no possibility of prosecution for the banks. And therefore, the people who knew too much would be killed. The people who weren't directors and VPs at, you know, high level. Then I put out a forecast in 2009 that was wrong on the 10-year. So I decided to put out another wrong forecast in 2013. I know it sounds weird. I want to have another incorrect forecast because I don't want to have them all correct.
Well, that's probably true.
I don't want to have almost all of the forecasts come to pass, because it'll look bad that I don't have errors.
Right.
So I want my errors to be examples of the corrupt system to show and demonstrate what's wrong. So I had this forecast a few months ago of a 3.5%, but I had a caveat in there. If we happen to see extraordinary QE and interest rate swap derivatives used in leveraged ways like 50 to 1, don't expect this forecast to come to pass. So we're seeing the forecast turn out incorrect. And thank the Lord, I've got another incorrect forecast.
There you go.
So it's like 23 correct and 2 wrong. And the voice told me, Jim, your forecast of the launch of a Nordic euro currency separating out the pigs of the South, it's not a wrong forecast. It's just slow and becoming correct.
Yeah, just give it a little time.
Give it a little more time.
What do you think of this this joke that they call taper, this alleged reduction of bond buying, and then the sudden surge in bond ownership of the great financial kingdom of Belgium?
Oh boy, I said when QE started, it'll be a QE2, QE3, then later a QE176. We're going to see QE to infinity. I think they're hiding their QE volume, and notice that when all these big deals take place in the East and the contract stipulates, you know, huge payments like $3 billion this year, $2 billion next year. Mm-hmm. The parties are using their treasury bond. It's called indirect exchange.
Yep.
When that comes up and say the Russians take the bonds, where do they put them? Where do they get rid of them? Well, they send them to London, but they can also send them to Euroclear. Euroclear is like an anonymous house that you can you know, dump things in and not have your name attached to it to invite a terrorist attack from the Al-Qaeda running out of Langley.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of hidden volume. I think when you talk about taper, what they're tapering is their honesty. They're not tapering the volume. They're tapering their integrity.
Right.
They're lying. They're not telling you how much they're doing the mortgage bond. I mean, we've got a gigantic lawsuit liquidation going on out of New York. I don't think I can even get the proper figures, but it involves a lot of mortgages, failed mortgage firms, the PBGC, the pension insurer for the federal government, and a lot of other things. We're seeing a meltdown. But back to the QE, they're not tapering anything. They're not including in their QE figures the derivatives that they redeem with AIG, all done now conveniently under the U.S. government roof. Why did they adopt and nationalize Fannie Mae and AIG? To make sure that the crime, the trillion-dollar crimes, did not get out. Instead, it's all buried in the U.S. government, protected by the FBI, Homeland Security, all kinds of dirty cops killing people, perhaps, just to keep it all quiet. You know, we got this bulge in Belgium, and a lot of people say, well, gee, we got big declines in the number of treasury bonds held by Russia. I point to the indirect exchange of asset purchases by various parties, including Russia and China. So where do those bonds go to be redeemed? But something like Euroclear, but there's another one called Clearstream. Clearstream is out of Germany. It's the Deutsche Börse. So there are two types just like this Euroclear. We may have other hidden dumpings going on with some of the scummy Deutsche Bank activity. But as the Russian account went down, the Belgian account went up, and it looks like a pretty tight correlation.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's the full story behind the Belgian bulge, as I call it. You know, this is a new battle of the bulge on the financial front for the global monetary wars. I believe we might see, say, India and China involved in dumping treasury bonds, or say posting treasury bonds as collateral. And I explore this more in the May Hetrick Letter Gold report. It's an alternative theory that my gang of my colleagues have come up with in the last few days, because the Battle of the Bulge, it just doesn't seem like it's only Russia dumping bonds. There's a lot more going on. And I explore that in the May Hetrick letter. So, you know, I don't usually tease much. I give away a lot. Well, this I'm not giving away because I've not explained it to my own paying Hetrick letter clients. I do so this weekend on a Sunday posting of the May Gold and Currency Report. It's a second alternative theory, a hypothesis of the Belgian bulge billboard. And I think that there's a very credible argument about treasury bonds being posted as collateral, not dumped, protecting some positions. And I really choose not to say much more about that.
Fair enough. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about signing up at for the Hetrick letter when we conclude here in a couple of minutes. But boy, I would sure encourage anybody listening, if you're not already a subscriber, you really should be. Jim, just a couple of other things, if you could give us an update. Another thing we talked about in the last 12 months was the fall of the zombie bank. They're almost all zombie banks after 2008, but in particular Deutsche Bank, or as we very generously call them here in Turdville, douchebank. Is there anything you can add? Boy, there's just all kinds of investigations swirling around them, and they're raising cash and doing secondary offerings of shares at a massive discount. Boy, it sure seems like the signs are there that they are having some serious problems. What do you hear?
Anytime you offer a new secondary issuance of stock and you do so at a heavy discount, what you're saying is that the stock's really worth 35% less.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you kind of hope and pray that when the issuance is done that you can maintain your artificially high price, that no one will catch on.
Right.
Let's face it, the investment community is not all that smart. They just hope for the best, and they want to see some additional Draghi funding and some additional Yellen Fed funding to keep these markets up and maintain these artificial prices. Now, okay, I was warned back in 2012 by The Voice that Deutsche Bank is going to be the target. It's going to be the Western giant bank in the syndicate, the only Western giant bank in the syndicate that the New York and London guys cannot protect.
Mm-hmm.
So Interpol went after them. I was warned 2 years ago, this is what's going to come. And then about 6 months ago, he told me that Deutsche Bank is going to be broken into six parts. A little run down memory lane, back in 99 or 98, the Fed discharged Bankers Trust and had Deutsche Bank acquire them. Bankers Trust had a nickname of the Fed's derivative bank.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Deutsche Bank adopted – it's like an offshore, a giant offshore operation for the Fed and Wall Street to manage their derivatives. This is what Deutsche Bank is all about. It's also got a very weird element that I've come to learn. A lot of dirty Russian mafia money goes through Deutsche Bank.
That would make sense.
And one of the murders in London was to cover up the mafia, the Russian mafia angle that connected through Deutsche Bank into London.
Interesting.
Other London murders of the mid-level bankers took place to hide the London whale.
Right, right.
The London
right.
whale's losses are well in excess of $100 billion, and they don't want that news to get out, so they treat a fellow to flying lessons
so
that he can't talk about it.
Right.
There's a lot going on, and what I've come to learn regarding Deutsche Bank is that the Interpol boys, who I believe have some ancient Chinese, let's just say old wealthy Chinese families, They've got like 10 or 12 Rockefeller families over there, and you couldn't name a single one, but doesn't mean they have no influence. It means you don't know what they do. They work together, and they've been working and hiring the Interpol Serious Fraud Division. I have a number of stories that I could tell, but I don't want to get long-winded. I already have been. But what they've done is they've decided – with the good guys in Germany, like in BaFin, B-A-F-A-N. That's like their Securities and Exchange Commission.
Right.
BaFin and the Interpol Serious Fraud Division have decided that Deutsche Bank is going to go after the London banks. And notice that Deutsche Bank dropped its gold fix seat.
Yep.
And cannot even sell it.
Right.
So how valuable is it? Does that mean that we have soon the news coming that the London gold fix will come to an end, like the silver fix?
Yeah.
All right. Here's the rule that I've heard regarding the strategy using Deutsche Bank, its prosecutions, and its breakup. You can't prosecute these London banks, so let's force them out of business. Notice the 19,000 job cuts at Barclays.
Mm-hmm.
Notice they're pulling out of Dubai, and you know, which is the jewel of the Gulf region financially, Dubai. It's their big gold center, but it's also a huge center with dozens and dozens of European and Asian banks. All the British banks are folding in Dubai. Okay, so now you're seeing divestiture. They're not done. There's more going on. You're getting divestiture of warehouses. The pressure on the London banks does not stop there. It goes to New York. You just had news recently of Goldman Sachs being forced to divest of their warehouse called, can't think of the name, Monty or anyway. And the aluminum warehouse.
Right, right.
You had Morgan Stanley forced to divest their Platts Energy. So the leverage going on in Deutsche Bank is applying to London and New York banks, and you're getting goofy statements from Goldman Sachs saying, well, it's not central to our client businesses. Well, of course it is. It's a cash cow. Since when is a cash cow not central to Goldman Sachs?
Yeah, good point.
Now, we've got a lot of things going on. Some of the themes I'd like to mention regarding these banker murders are to keep quiet the extent of the London whale derivative losses in interest rate swaps. They lied and said it was to Forex trades tying to European markets. No. Take a look at the period that they focused on, and no, those are improvements there. What happened was you had volatility in the Treasury market. It's also to hide Vatican ties and Russian mob money. Let me just close on this topic by mentioning what's called the bank-owned life insurance.
Yeah.
BOLI. The big banks in the West have $680 billion worth of face value life insurance against their own employees, paid to the banks and not to the families. This is like a Vegas line for murder hits.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest participants are Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and J.P. Morgan.
No.
Oh, yeah.
There's a stunner.
Now, it opens the door legally to lawsuits if consent was not given from the employee.
Right.
They're trying to say, these big banks are coming out with propaganda BS, saying, no, we're insuring critical people to our businesses, so if they are gone, we suffer losses to our business integrity, our business climate, our business relationships, our business activity, and all kinds of human relationships have a value.
They call that.
To which I say, then why are you insuring ex-employees?
They call that key man insurance, I believe, in the very small business sense. And this
then
is
why maintain it for an ex-employee?
Or why maintain it when you've got 100,000 employees? Yeah.
Well, here's what's getting to be weird and funny about it. As certain guys are getting murdered, themes to the murder are becoming known inside the banks, and the value of certain life insurance policies of related players, not cousin, but same business type, are seeing their life insurance value go up. So Wall Street banks are showing a profit on their BOLI assets.
Hey, Charlie, did you see what happened to your life insurance? Oh, shit, you better watch out. You better check your car before you fire it up tonight.
Yeah, these are very dangerous things at work.
Damn right.
You know, you really got to go back to what was my thought process behind the bank murder forecasts. They know too much.
Yeah, that's right.
They're mules for bond runs.
Yeah.
They meet with scummy figures from the Vatican or the Russian mafia and set up bank accounts with false fronts. They're involved with all kinds of setup of offshore slush fund companies in Cayman, in Bermuda, in Cyprus, in all kinds of locations. They know too much. They're not simple loan officers and tellers. No, they're mid-level bankers, and that's why I thought they would be murdered.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's one of my proudest correct forecasts.
Well, and like you said, kind of straight out of a mafia movie. If you've seen The Godfather often enough, you know, you get just some underman or underling, whatever, mafioso that thinks he's, you know, it. But he knows too much and he knows where the bodies are buried and therefore he's got to go. And it's a similar thought process, I would imagine.
Well, I hope they don't have any contract life insurances policies out on newsletter writers.
Yeah, no kidding. Or website
hosts. Or a radio show host.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, I think why don't we stop there for now? We've been at it now for almost an hour, and we'll give everybody a break. However, if you would like, I checked the calendar here just a moment ago, and I recognize the 4th of July is a Friday. How about that? That means we have a 3-day weekend coming up again in only about maybe 6 weeks. Can we pick up the conversation there, do you suppose, sometime that week?
Yeah, but I'm not sure too many events will be happening between now and then.
Yeah, well, we've got so much more to talk about that we didn't even get to today.
I promise to be back, but I don't think there's going to be much happening between now and then.
Well, we'll see. Tell everybody if they want to read more about the Belgian Bulge and all of the other great information that they can find in the Hat Trick Letter, tell everybody again where they find you and your services.
Well, it's goldenjackass.com, www.goldenjackass.com. No hyphens or underscores or anything weird in there. I know it's a weird name, but my mother used to call me her little jackass, and I was an insolent little guy, and I caused a lot of trouble in school, and yeah, I had a lot of detention in school.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Okay, but I just finished my 10th anniversary in April, and I'm very pleased. I'm on issue number 122 now. I've got the Hat Trick Letter. It's a paid subscription service, but I give a lot away free. I don't get too many complaints about you give a lot away free. Why do I sign up? I have plenty. I get a number of comments from new subscribers saying I had no idea that your newsletter had three times as much information and juicy theories and backed up arguments and other quotes from sources, and you tie it together and you come up with additional forecasts. That's found in the Hat Trick Letter, where I have higher level things in the Money War Report and lower level things, ground level, not low importance, but ground level things in the Golden Currency Report. So it has a main free area where people can, you know, just see what's new and what's free and what's going on. And those are my top-down articles, public articles. I come up with a theme. Like, say, the Londoners are stealing Saudi gold and the relationship has gone sour. And now we got, you know, a ripe story along those lines. Credit Suisse was just forced by the U.S. government to have an admission of guilt. Since when do you ever get a big bank admitting guilt? It's now a leveraged device to force them out of business, to shut them down, to force a merger. And what they're trying to do, what I heard, this is a ground level story. It's in my gold report. But they're trying to force a merger with UBS so the United States can steal Saudi gold. I mean, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and the United States is not the good guy anymore. The U.S. and British are the fascist axis. They got another ally in the Southeast Mediterranean that I'd never like to talk about unless it's about the the floating platform.
You can leave it there. You can leave it there.
Yeah, but anyway, we've got the two different monthly reports, high level, ground level, and a lot of free information in public articles and radio interviews like this. I'm tending to do more interviews these days because I think a lot of hosts are realizing that many analysts out there are kind of bland and seem to be missing three quarters of what's going on. And I don't think we miss much here. I certainly miss things, but and I have an occasional wrong forecast, especially my planned wrong forecast regarding Treasury bonds.
But it all starts, like you said, it all starts by visiting www.goldenjackass.com, correct?
That's it. That's right. And we're marching onward and upward and having a good time. And I'm noticing that a lot of competitors are out of business now. They kind of lived and died with the mining stocks, and I told people in 2008, go to silver and gold and bars and coins, and you know, guys like Turd Ferguson are great places to buy, and you can always expect honesty and integrity in his sales. So I've turned a number of people toward you, and that's good. I tell them you go there. There are a couple other places too, but you're the main one I mentioned because you're my buddy.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. And then we try to run it here, just like you said. There's some free stuff, but I get the same thing. I get when people sign up, you know, for the little stipend to go behind the curtain of the vault. You know, there's a lot more there than you might expect as well. And we've just got to keep doing what we do. And I appreciate the taking me up on the offer of the open mic to stop by Turdville and help us out. And hopefully we can do this again in about 6 weeks and see where we are from there. So, Jim, thank you so much for coming in and giving us, gosh, this has been almost an hour of time. And you're a great asset to all of us. And just keep doing what you're doing, would you please?
My pleasure, and I promise to be back. And we do this every couple months, so it's all good.
All right, my friend. Have a restful 3-day weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, very good. Thanks for having me.